rest of us, we are going to finish the message I've been in the last 2 weeks on the gift of tongues and interpretation, doing the best I can to explain to everyone and clear up confusion about that gift. We left off last week. We had talked about the fact that there are different ways of receiving the gift of tongues. And we left off in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. I think we'll read that. I'll talk that a little bit, talk about that a little bit before we move on and finish this message today. So if you have your Bibles, would you look with me in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7? This obviously being one of the ways, one of the examples of how people receive tongues. And this one was the last one we covered, and it's about through the laying on of hands. Beginning to read in verse 1, it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, well, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power of your Spirit. We pray that today you would confirm your word, that you would give us revelation as we delve into your word and finish this message that has ended up being three parts, making clear about the gifts of the Spirit, and specifically tongues and interpretation. We just pray, Lord, that you will make it clear to us by your Spirit. I know I'm inadequate, but Lord, I know you're not. And I pray, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross of Calvary and reveal yourself, that you put a watch on my mouth that will only speak the words you've ordained for today. Not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So just to reiterate, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. And then upon hearing this, the people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot possess the gifts of the Spirit. It's an absolute that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, that's not to say that you don't have talents. People get talents and gifts mixed up. Talents, we're all given talents. We are all created with talents. There are specific things that we're good at, and there are things that we're not good at. Some of you, you know, are good, very good at things that I'm really no good at. And I might be good at a couple of things, I don't know for sure what, that you're not. But the point being, those are talents, and we're created from the beginning with them. But the gifts of the Spirit come through the Spirit. Okay, so if we are not filled with the Spirit, we're not going to possess those gifts. That's why it's mentioned that, and they're referred to as power gifts. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are empowered, not so that we can go out and brag to everybody, I'm full of the Holy Ghost! Not for that reason. Amen. but so that we are more usable in Christ.
Yes.
See, we're supposed to be sheep that reproduce, right?
Amen.
Healthy sheep reproduce, and the gifts of the Spirit empower us to go out into the world and reproduce, to lead people to Christ and bring them into the church and create disciples of Christ. Not disciples of Pastor Wayne or disciples of this person or that person, but disciples of Christ. Everything we do in the power of those gifts is to lead people to Jesus. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Lead people to Jesus. Because it's all about Him. We just sung it. Was it something you just mouthing the words, or were you singing that because you believe that and it really is true in your life? Is it all about Jesus? In my case, it is. I learned quite a few years ago the hard way. I seem to have to learn everything the hard way. Is anybody else? Help me out. Help me preach. You too? Wow. Yeah, I've always had to learn everything the hard way. I guess that's because I've got a hard Dutch head. But thank God we learn, right? But so I can't reiterate that enough. We need to be filled with the Spirit. There is a distinct difference between being baptized into the Holy Spirit. That happens when we are born again. Okay? When we are born again, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. You realize Jesus is the baptizer. We're not talking about water baptism here. Water baptism is a symbol of what happens on the inside of us. Okay? And it's also an act of obedience. In Acts we see that they said, "What shall we do?" The first time they heard the sermon. And the whole group said, "What shall we do?" And the response was, "Believe. And be baptized, every one of you." Okay? So, water baptism is an act of obedience as well. We're talking about spiritual baptism. So, being baptized into the Spirit happens when we are born again. But there's more to be sought.
Yes.
Unfortunately, over the years, there are many churches that haven't taught this. And people were, as a result, all kinds of people were not empowered by the fullness of the Spirit because they didn't even know that there was more to seek. I found that out a week after I got born again. I was so hungry for God because I was so broken before I got saved. I couldn't get up. When my spiritual father explained it to me, I said, "I want that! Because I know me, because if I don't have the power of the Spirit to help me walk in this new life, I won't make it." Can I get a witness? Anybody else? I needed that power. I didn't take it lightly. I said, "Whatever you got for me, God, I'm in." And boom. Then I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not into the Holy Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit. I had already been born again and was baptized into the Holy Spirit. I was saved. At the point I was baptized into the Holy Spirit, I was as saved as I was ever going to get. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I wasn't going to get any more saved than I was at that moment because I was baptized into the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. I got a whole lot more powerful when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. So we seek after Him for that baptism. And then we're told to pray for the gifts. And He delves out the gifts however He determines. Right?
Yes.
It's always right to be praying for the gifts. I've always prayed for the gifts. And the longer I walk with Christ, there are more gifts of the Spirit that are tending to surface in my life. When I first got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I got the gift of tongues right then. Okay? But it was years later that then the gift of interpretation came alongside of that. Okay? And then, with that gift with it, then it benefits the whole body. As we've been looking at, we've been looking at this in the Word the last 2 weeks. So, if you missed those, go online. It's up there on our website. Go up there and watch those messages. Because if you missed those, you've missed a great big hole. And I'm picking up here, and you're probably going, what? Because you missed a lot. So, you need to back up and check that out. Thank God for the website. Thank you for the technology, Lord. Amen? Obviously, not everything that's done on the internet is evil. Unfortunately, a lot is. All right. So, got to move on. Next major point is God wants to shake us up and fill us with His Holy Spirit to the point of overflowing. We constantly need refill. We need a constant flow of God's Spirit. What am I telling you? Strive to be under the spout where the glory comes out. That's what I'm talking about. Try to live under the spout where the glory comes out. What do I mean by that? What I mean is in prayer, in worship, spending time with God, communing with Him. You can do that whatever you're doing. You can do that driving down the road. You can do that whatever you're doing. If you're operating a punch press, please keep your mind on what you're doing at work. You understand what I'm saying? But there are so many things we can do in life and commune with our Lord, and it keeps us under the spout where the glory comes out. Operating in the power of the Spirit at all times empowers us to be ready for God to use us, a ready vessel, in season and out of season. See, we're supposed to be ready in season and out of season, right? When we are called to give an account for the hope that we have, right? So, are we ready to really hunger and thirst for God and His gifts of the Spirit so that we will be equipped for every good work that He would direct us to? Are we ready? God equips everyone to fulfill whatever He is calling us to do. Whatever God calls us to do, another way of saying it is this: when He appoints, He anoints. And if you want to know for sure if it's truly God calling you to do some specific thing, in my life it's always been like this. If I can do it in my own strength, it's probably not from God, because He's always called me to do things I can't do in my own strength. I've shared this with you guys, man, I'm just being real. I was never a public speaker. I was a class clown, but I was not a public speaker. Do you understand the difference? I was fine with being the class clown. That wasn't good. But not public speaking. I didn't sleep for the whole night before I had to give an oral book to the board. Anybody else live that? All night long, I was worried about it. Because I hated so bad being in front of people. Because I convinced myself I was going to look like an idiot. And unfortunately, you know how kids are at school. There were kids that converted. They're always there to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they'll help you out. But so, I was no public speaker. And God started speaking to me about preaching. And I was like, say what? Me? And guess what? I made up my mind I was going to obey him, no matter what. And I've said this before. What it boiled down to is I had to do it scared. The first few times, this is the truth, guys, the first few times I preached, I was so freaked out, I forbid my wife to come. I didn't even want to. Isn't that true, hon? I told her, hon, it'll just make me more nervous. I just don't even want to. So I forbid her to come. And I stood in the pulpit the first few times, and I know they heard my knees rattling. I know they did. But I did it scared. Because God spoke to me. He wanted me to do it. So I stood there and I did it scared. Like this. I was all twitchy and everything, you know what I'm saying? Now, all that being said, I still cannot do this in my own strength. Do you have any questions about why I pray the prayer I do every time I get in the pulpit to preach? You got any questions? Why I ask the Lord to hide me? For Him to speak through me only the words He's ordained? That's why. Because I can't do it in my own strength. I still, every time before I get up here, I still have butterflies in my stomach. Because I can't do it in my own strength. And I know I can't. So why did I ramble about all that? Because if you're going to follow God, He is going to call you to do things that you absolutely can't do in your own strength. But I want to encourage you, do it scared. Do it scared. Because what He has appointed you to do, He has anointed you to do. Am I making sense to you? See, God wants to use you, every one of us. That doesn't mean every one of us is going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to be an evangelist. Everybody's not going to be a pastor. But God wants to use us, and He wants to do amazing things in our lives and through our lives, because His desire is for us to be a vessel that He can trust to carry whatever He wants to bring to His people. There's responsibility that comes with that. I don't take that lightly, and I know Pastor Jim doesn't either. We've talked about it. That's a huge weight. It's a responsibility to know that you're standing before God's people, speaking to them and bringing to them, feeding God's sheep. It's a huge responsibility. And no one should take that lightly. Did you know that those who teach and preach are held to a higher point of accountability? That's a fact. It says so in God's Word. That shakes me to the core of my foundation. One thing I know for sure, He is God and I'm not. So are we ready? Are you hungering and thirsting for God, for His gifts of the Spirit? We should be. We should be hungry for God and want more of God. And that's how He does it. He fills us with His Spirit. He fills us to overflowing. And He begins to pour out His gifts. Pray for God's gifts. Pray for them. We're told to pray for that. To eagerly desire the gifts of God. They're from Him. They're all good. Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. I've got to be careful or I won't get done today. The clock's going fast. It's a quarter till already. You'd let me finish today, though, wouldn't you? If I went over 10 minutes. I'm not saying I'm going to. We'll just see what Spirit leads. This passage in Acts 4, verses 23 through 31, is referred to as the believer's prayer. The believer's prayer. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Can I stop there a second? Do you see that happening today? Evil is rising up in the face of God. It's not going to end well for them. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Do you see it? It's so vitally important to our ability to be able to live successfully in this life, but then also to be a blessing to others and be obedient to God. It's so vitally important that we are filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. Not fearing the gifts of the Spirit, because there is nothing to be feared. Just say to God, here I am. Do with me what you will. I am yours, I'm your vessel. I'm submitted to you. Just surrender. See, our salvation is free. It's already been paid for. Right? Amen. Jesus paid the whole price on the cross of Calvary. And all that he requires back from us is all of us. The whole person. Not in part. He requires the whole person. Not our life laid out in compartments, and we say, you can come in this compartment, you can come in this compartment, I'll let you in this one, but these here, you're not getting in there. And that is a major problem with our culture today, even the Christian culture. That is a big, big problem, is too many professing Christians have compartmentalized their lives. Not right. See, when we compartmentalize our lives, then that means we are this person when we are at church. We are this person when we are at work. We are this person when we're out, maybe at our class reunion, because we get around the guys or the gals. Then we're this person. See, that's a telltale sign that we are living our lives with compartments. And Jesus wants to tear down the walls. He wants all of us. Nothing short of that. And when we are submitted in that way, God will do things in us and through us that we could never imagine. I could have never, ever imagined the things that God has done in me and through me and the places that he has taken me I could have never dreamt it. I could have never, ever even dared to dream that I would ever ride in an African putt-putt boat on the Nile River and go and sit right on top of the headwaters with the spring that is responsible for starting the headwaters of the Nile River that is 4,000 miles long. 4,000 miles. And it's the only river in the world that flows from south to north. I never could have dreamed that I would ever be in a boat on the Nile. And that we would go up into Victoria Lake from there, because that's where the rest of the headwaters come that don't come from the spring, is the overflow out of Victoria Lake. I didn't know I was going to give you a geography lesson today. I'm just letting you tell you. My point is this. God has such wonderful plans, and many, many people miss it because they never, ever surrender to Him and say, here I am. Here I am. When Samuel was a little boy, God said his name. Samuel, Samuel. He was finally told, just go say, here I am. Look at what God did through Samuel. He called him when he was a little boy. We tend to put these, for lack of better terminology, Bible characters on pedestals. Well, yeah, but that was them. They were regular people like you and me. They sinned, and they needed a Savior because they couldn't be good enough in and of themselves. Every one of those Bible characters, except, of course, Jesus, He's set apart. The rest of them that God used so greatly, they were sinners like you and me. And God chose to use them because they said, here I am, use me. Here I am, Lord. In conclusion, Jesus said, we don't have because we don't ask. He also said, ask believing and you will have what you ask for. When you ask God to pour out His gifts in you, the gifts of the Spirit, believe it. Believe it's going to happen. Not because you're worthy, I'm not either, but because God said so. Amen. So it's not on our merit then, it's on His merit. It's on His merit that we make that request. For the gifts of His Spirit to flow in our lives. John 15, verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Luke 11, verse 9. Says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask, seek, and knock. Mark 11, verses 22 through 25. Are you getting writing cramps yet for those of you taking notes? Mark 11, 22 through 25. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, there are conditions to answered prayer. He gives us one right here. Don't walk in unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness against someone, get it right. Get over it. Not letting go of that is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. It's that bad. Not only that, I want to tell you something. The Word of God is absolute truth. I believe the Word. And Jesus said, if you won't forgive your brother, neither will my Father forgive you. Now, I want you to understand something. This is serious. If you can't be forgiven, you can't get into heaven. So this is a very, very serious matter. And I know that's right. Years ago, there was a... I am going to end up going over 5 minutes, I think. Years ago, there was a gentleman in Africa. I can't remember now which nation. But he had a fight with his wife. And I can't tell you the whole story, because, I mean, there's actually a video about it. We have the video. But he had a fight with his wife and stormed out the house and left. He climbed in the car, and the brakes went out, going down a hill, and he plowed into a massive tree, and it killed him. His wife was not accepting him. So after he had actually been embalmed, she went and got his body from the place that he was laying, having been embalmed. And she put him on something she was rolling him on and was rolling him through the street because she had heard the man of God, Reinhard Bonnke, was in town. And she said, if I can get my husband to this meeting, he'll raise him. God will raise him. Okay? This is wild. So here she goes through the street. People are freaking out. Because she's trucking through the street as fast as she can. And she gets to the building where Reinhard Bonnke is just getting ready to preach. And she's in there. She's elbowing people out the way. And she's going to bring him in the meeting. And people stopped her and said, oh no, you're not bringing him in there. You got to go in the basement. So she ended up taking his body in the basement. And there, and the meeting was going on upstairs. But she told people, God spoke to me that my husband will be raised. And so she got some people to unite their faith with her. And they were down there rubbing this guy's body and praying. Now you need to understand something. There was not any of his own blood left. He was embalmed. All of a sudden they started smelling the smell of embalming fluid getting stronger. And all of a sudden his fingers and his feet started twitching. Long story short, God raised that man up from the dead. His wife would not give up. Even though he left the way he did that morning, he was mean to her and went out the door. All right, fast forward. So he's raised from the dead. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version in light of time. But he's raised from the dead. And then he started telling people what was transpiring while he was dead. He went to hell. Now here's something I reserved. This was not only a man, this was a pastor. This was a pastor. And he was told by Jesus when he stood before him after he'd gone to hell that he had to go back and tell people, you have to forgive or you will not come into my kingdom. He went to hell because of that fight that he would not let go of that morning with his wife. He refused. He said that God had been dealing with him from the moment he went out the door, that he needed to go back and fix it with his wife. And he didn't. He kept going. And the brakes went out. Smack. Right into a tree. Was killed outright. Unforgiveness sent that pastor to hell. So what I am telling you is it is so, so very vitally important for answered prayer, for our lives, that we walk in a life of forgiveness. There is nothing anybody can ever do to us that is worth hanging on to and casting ourselves into hell. True story, guys. I've got the video. Reinhard Bonnke confirmed it. How many of you know who Reinhard Bonnke is? You think he's credible?
Yeah.
This video came from his ministry. All right. So, there are conditions to answered prayer. Made it abundantly clear here. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Pretty amazing that that's right in there talking about answered prayer. Last scripture, John 7, verses 37 through 39. I just rocked people's world that are of the once saved, always saved persuasion. Didn't I? I rocked your whole boat. It's biblical. I have more scriptures. I've got a whole page of scripture. It's biblical. No one can ever take our salvation away from us, but we can choose to throw it away. On the last greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I hope in the last 3 weeks, I've done an adequate job of clearing up at least most of the misconceptions and have brought a balance and an understanding about the gifts, and specifically the gift of tongues and interpretation, because that those gifts operate here in this church. And I want people to understand that. All right? It's only 2 minutes after. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And Lord, all we are seeking after is your truth. Lord, we just want truth. We seek after you because we know you are truth. Lord Jesus, you are the living word. So Lord, I just thank you for everyone here in this place today. Lord, I pray that we all will chew on your word, what we've heard the last 3 weeks. I pray in Jesus' name that as people seek after your face and seek after the gifts of your Spirit, that, Lord, as you pour them out, that it's a beautiful thing and your Spirit flows in a mighty way and equips us, Lord, all of us, to be able to go into this world and carry hope and carry your truth. Lord, bring us back safely Wednesday and again next weekend. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.